Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm here with our prospect expert, Ryan Kennedy. I'm your host, Edward Fraser. Later on in this edition, we'll be spotlighting the Washington Capitals, looking at their best young players. We've also got an interview with the Vegas prospect, Cody Glass. But as usual, we're going to start off with the headlines. Ryan, what's making news across the prospect world this time of the week?
Well, you know, unfortunately, when seasons begin, you get some injuries, and one big one is Vitaly Kravtsov out of Russia, plays for Traktor in the KHL, one of my favorite names for a team. He broke his wrist. They're saying he's out 7 weeks. Interesting thing about Kravtsov, last year, youngest player ever to score a goal in the KHL playoffs, and he's a big kid, very talented, and, you know, it's unfortunate to have an injury this early in the season. He did get in some games, probably about a half a dozen. Like most teenagers in the KHL, he was only playing about 6-7 minutes a game, but tough break for him early on.
He's eligible for this year's draft?
Yes, he is a 2018 prospect. Right now I have him in the first round, but you know, there's always going to be a bit of a Russian factor, and it'll be interesting to see if the injury hampers him.
League play has begun all across Europe, and another prospect making some noise, getting some big buzz out of Vancouver, Elias Patterson.
Yeah, it's kind of fun for me, you know, being on Twitter. I know Canucks fans are very invested in Elias Patterson right now because he was taken so high by the Canucks, and he had a very nice assist in his first regular season game for Vax Joe, had a really nice preseason as well. So he's going to be followed quite a bit. I see him as almost like an Alexander Venberg at this point, where, you know, he's not a big center, but he's very talented, and he's very competitive. That's what I think I like the most about Elias Patterson, is when he doesn't perform, he's kind of like his own harshest critic. The big step up for him this season, playing for the Vaxio Lakers, that's an SHL team. Last year, he was with Timrå, had like a point per game, which was fantastic for a teenager, but that was in the Allsvenskan, which is sort of the second division in Sweden. If you're not familiar with European hockey, they have those tiers. So it's, you know, it would be better than the AHL versus the NHL. It would be kind of in between those two. But now he's facing the best of the best. So it'll be very fun to see how he progresses the entire season.
Realistically, and looking at the situation Vancouver is in, and I think we all know what that is, what's the earliest we'd see him in the NHL?
Well, I think the earliest we would see him would be next year, but given his frame, he's still a pretty skinny kid. I think everybody in Vancouver would be pretty happy with him staying home another 2 years, just so he could fill out and, you know, maybe he plays an AHL game here or there at the end of the season just to sort of get his feet wet in North America. But this is not a kid you want to rush because he has a lot of potential, but he still needs to get stronger.
Interesting situation in Columbus where the Blue Jackets will actually have a huge impact on the Quebec League.
Yeah, they really will. Two of the Blue Jackets' best prospects, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Vitaly Abramov, there's a chance that one of them could make the NHL roster, and that's going to have big implications for the Quebec League. Blainville-Boisbriand, the team that Pierre-Luc Dubois plays for, I just did my Quebec League rankings. They were ranked number one in my survey by the panel I put together. They'll still be a very good team without him, but obviously if they're going to go for a title, having Dubois in the lineup would be huge for them. They actually played in the final last year. They lost to St. John. Vitaly Abramov, on the other hand, playing just as well in Blue Jackets camp and really raising a lot of eyebrows. He's kind of on the other end of the spectrum where he plays for the Gatineau Olympique, and that's a team that's rebuilding right now. So if Abramov goes back, most likely he'll be traded before the deadline in the Quebec League, go to a contender, try to win a title in his last year of junior. So if you know, if he doesn't go back, Gatineau is still probably going to be one of the bottom teams in the league. But if he does go back, they'll get some use out of him, and then, you know, hopefully for Gatineau, they get some nice assets for the future. But it'll be important one way or another.
Lots of fascinating goaltending situations in the Ontario League.
Yeah, and Carolina Hurricanes kind of kicked things off. They sent Jeremy Helvig back to Kingston the other day, and that was actually expected because Carolina has a pretty nice goaltending pipeline going on in the pro ranks. So Helvig's going back for his sort of overage season with the Frontenacs. But there's a couple of other situations to watch out for that are still in flux. Michael McNiven, the Montreal Canadiens prospect, if he goes back to Owen Sound, that's huge for the attack. Owen Sound's already going to be one of the top teams in the OHL, but if they get McNiven, he's one of the best goaltenders in the league. So again, you look at the Montreal Canadiens, and they actually have a pretty good pipeline of goaltenders right now. So you have to think, where would he get starts if he went pro? Is it in the AHL? Well, they got Charlie Lindgren. They also have Zach Fekale, who played most of the year in the ECHL. So you have to sort of look at, would it be worth it for Montreal to keep McNiven up? Similarly, go to the Calgary Flames, another team that has some pretty good young goaltenders in the pipeline. You got John Gillies, who might get some starts with the Flames this year. You also have Mason McDonald. And then you have Tyler Parsons, World Junior Gold medalist with Team USA last year. If he goes back to the London Knights, once again, the London Knights are going to be one of the best teams in the OHL. So that's something that the Flames are going to have to decide on as their training camp goes on. And obviously implications for both Parsons as an individual and the Knights as a team. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Ryan, this week you've got up your previews for all three of the major Canadian junior leagues. And of course, in the WHL, Cody Glass, sixth overall draft pick by the Vegas Golden Knights. He's going to play a huge role for the Portland Winterhawks. You caught up with him when he was in Toronto recently, and here's your interview.
So I'm here with Cody Glass, the first ever draft pick of the Vegas Golden Knights. Cody, thanks for doing this. And first off, how's your summer been?
It's been short and sweet, but no, I tried making the most of it with training and being with my family, and obviously it's a quick turnaround now that I'm back in Portland, so it's been good.
Excellent. And you were training in Winnipeg with a couple of other pros. Can you tell me about how that went?
Yeah, I was skating with Leipzig and Kolsar and some other guys, and I think it went a lot easier for me, and especially those guys being in Vegas, I think it'll make it easier for me going into camp, and obviously being at the speed they are, it makes me a better player, but no, it went really well, and I felt like I got better over the summer.
Excellent. Now, going back to draft night, obviously it was a huge night for the Vegas franchise. You were one of three first-rounders. Can you take me through just what happened after you left the podium, like going up to the room and meeting all the guys? Like, what was that like?
It's pretty unbelievable. I know I went up there and met all the staff and the people behind the scenes, and I know I flew out 2 days after to go to Vegas camp, so they're pretty much talking about that the whole time, but I got a lot of time to enjoy it after the draft and went up to the suite for probably an hour, met everybody, and took a couple pictures with Nick and Eric, and then after that was just fun time for me and my family. So it was a good experience, and I really enjoyed my time there.
Right on. Now, personally, I thought Vegas had a really good draft. Not only that first round, but they carried it on the second day. Having been to development camp, what did you think about the level of competition there was on the squad?
I think there's a lot of competition, especially, like you said, I think the draft class we had was pretty unbelievable, and we have a lot of good depth throughout the draft. So for myself, I think I just went into development camp trying to enjoy it and taking everything in, because it's my first development camp and I just want to enjoy it. So no, it went really well. We did a couple scrimmages, and I think the compete level was very high. The hitting wasn't a big thing there just because it's middle of summer, so don't want to do anything too rough, but went really well, and it was a really good time.
So, now, obviously, development camp is all about the hockey, but did you get to do anything off ice, maybe as a group, that was fun and maybe Vegas-centric?
I think the biggest thing was Cirque du Soleil. I've never been, so that was a big thing, and it was the Beatles version of it. So that was really fun, and all of us went to it, and I think it was a really enjoyable time for us.
Excellent. And you also played for Team Canada this summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Michigan. What did you think about the level of competition there? Obviously, you had Canada, the U.S., Sweden, and Finland. A lot of great junior players.
I think that was a really good experience for myself, and especially being development camp and also in the middle of summer, it's kind of harder to get back to that high level of hockey. But for myself, just like the Vegas camp, I just want to take it all in because most of it goes into your winter season and on how you get invited to camp. So I just wanted to make a good first impression, and I think I did that, and I just really enjoyed my time there.
Excellent. And in terms of your personal goals for this summer, was there any aspect of your game that you worked on, or was there anything when it came to the gym that you thought was particularly important?
I think speed was the biggest thing, and especially with the short summer I had, didn't have too much time to do a lot of work, but I think when I spent my time in there, I did really a good job of getting everything done, and I think speed and a little bit more of explosiveness was the big thing for me this summer, and I think I did a really good job of that.
Right on. Now, should you head back to the Portland Winterhawks in the Dub this fall, Kiefer Bellows, the New York Islanders draft pick, will be joining you. What are your expectations for this year's Portland team?
I think we're returning with the same group of guys, and obviously we're losing our captain, Iverson, and then we're losing Caleb Jones as well, but obviously we got Bellows who can sort of replace Iverson, but I think we'll have the same good group, and I think we can make a really good run at it.
Excellent. Thanks so much for doing this, Cody.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Our 2018 spotlight this week is going to be on Joe Valeno of the St. John Sea Dogs. A fascinating player, the first player to get exceptional status in the Quebec League. Ryan, tell us a little bit about Valeno.
Yeah, Valeno, obviously a top talent. And you know the exceptional status, this is something that we had previously only heard of in the OHL, where guys like John Tavares, Connor McDavid, Aaron Ekblad, and then most recently Sean Day were allowed to get into the league a year early. So the same thing happened with Joe Valeno, goes number one overall to the St. John Sea Dogs, and fit in very well. The Sea Dogs have been one of the best teams in the Quebec League the past couple of years. They're going to take a step back this season, obviously, with a bunch of guys graduating, but this is your typical elite center, you know, makes guys around him better, very quick, very nice producer, and he works hard. You know, when I talk to scouts, that's something that sort of sets him apart in their minds, is here's an elite guy that makes sure that he gives his all every shift, and that's kind of the book on Valeno right now.
I'm looking at your projected top 10 from the 2018 Future Watch, and I'm sure it's shifted maybe significantly from them, but, you know, Valeno is the only guy in your top 7 who's a center. Knowing how important it is to draft guys who play that position and how key they are, does that give him a little more value to teams?
Well, it might end up happening that way, and this is going to be an interesting draft in 2018 because there aren't a lot of elite centers at the high end. Basically, you're looking at Valeno and Ryan McLeod in Mississauga. I wonder, you know, for Valeno, I see him as a sort of top three, top five guy right now, depending on how things shake out. McLeod's probably top 10. But where they go might have or might be impacted by how many puck-moving defensemen go and how high they go, because there's actually a glut of really elite blue liners this year, so it'll be kind of fun to see how that impacts things. For Valeno on his own merits, he's a very, very good prospect, and I think he deserves to be the top pivot right now, and you're right. I mean, centers tend to go higher than wingers. They tend to go higher than defensemen. This year, I think Rasmus Dahlin, you know, if everything shakes out the way we think it will, he'll be the number one pick because he's just so good. And, you know, defensemen actually can impact the game a little more than forwards if you think about it, because they play more. But, you know, having said that, if a team needs a center and they're picking high, Valeno is most likely going to be their guy.
What's an NHL comparable or some kind of an amalgamation of NHL players that would best describe Joe Valeno?
Well, maybe this is just because he plays for St. John, but I get like a Jonathan Huberto vibe from him right now. They're kind of a similar size, and they're both quick, and they're both very talented. Obviously, Huberto's a winger in the NHL, so it's not a fantastic comparison, but I see Valeno as, you know, he could be that number one center on a team. You know, I don't think he's in the Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid stratosphere, but I still think he'd be a very good center.
Another thing to really like about Valeno is that he's got leadership qualities.
Yes, he was the captain of Canada's gold medal-winning Ivan Hlinka tournament this summer. That's a top under-18 tournament. Happens every year. They're actually going to have it in Edmonton next year. Usually it's in Europe. It's interesting because when the tournament began, Valeno didn't have the best results. The scouts I talked to were saying that it looked like he was trying too hard, and you know, he really sort of took the pressure of being a captain on his shoulders. But as the tournament went on, he got better. And I think that's what you really want to see in a player is improvement, especially in a short tournament like that. So by the end, he was very good and obviously a key part of Canada taking home gold.
Our team spotlight this week. Last week we did Winnipeg. This week we're going to do Washington. If you're not able to do the alphabet, that means we're going reverse.
Reverse.
Trying to give some love to the bottom of the alphabet. Right. Washington Capitals are in a fascinating position because for the first time in years, after getting a little cap crunch this summer, there's spots available, and several of them for young players. So take us through some of the guys who are realistic shots to make this year's roster.
Yeah, the Capitals, this is a really fascinating situation because they haven't drafted very high the past few years, obviously, because they've been sort of President's Trophy hunters for a good deal of that time. And like you said, they haven't had a lot of spots available because they've been contenders, but now that's really opened up because they lost a lot of talent. So what we're going to see is if the kids they have been developing are ready for prime time. I'm not sure all of them are, but they're going to get a chance. Up front, the big name you need to know is Jakub Vrána. This is a very talented player. He's been around for a couple of years now. He's been in North America for a couple of years with the AHL's Hershey Bears. It's been an up-and-down ride. The kid can definitely shoot the puck, and we know he has talent, but he was a healthy scratch at times during the playoffs last season, and that's not really what you want to see from your top-ranked forward in your cupboard, but that was the reality when it came to Vrána. So he knows the pressure is on him in camp, and he knows that there's a spot available. Actually, there was an exhibition game that they just played where they had him on the line with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov. So they want to see what he can do at the high end, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Now, on the blue line, this is where it's really wide open because obviously Washington really suffered from some attrition over the summer. You lose Carl Alsner, you lose Kevin Shattenkirk, you lose Nate Schmidt, so things are wide open, and there's some old names and there's some new names. In terms of the older names, Madison Bowie is a player that we've been watching for years now. Very sturdy, you know, he can be physical, he's got a good two-way game, so he'll be right in the mix. Christian Juice is a player that had some really nice time with the Hershey Bears. He's another player that can get you some offense, so he'll be in the mix there. And then a couple of other names to keep in mind. Jonas Siegenthaler, the big defenseman from Switzerland. According to Isabel Kershudian, who's a fantastic beat writer in Washington, Siegenthaler has lost 24 pounds over the summer, and he's a big kid. He was about 6'2", 230 last year, so now he's sleeker. It's a sleeker Jonas, and you know, he had a very good World Juniors for Switzerland in what was otherwise a sort of forgettable tournament for the Swiss. But he's a nice two-way guy, and obviously he has some great size, and he has great mobility as well. Another sort of dark horse candidate is first-rounder Lucas Johansson. This is Ryan Johansson's younger brother, but obviously he plays on the blue line. He's got the opposite problem of Siegenthaler. He needed to gain weight, so he's put on a little bit of weight and muscle over the summer. Very smart kid on the blue line. Great mobility as well. So Johansson will be one to watch. Not sure where he fits in the grand scheme of things or where he ends up this year, but I thought it was worth mentioning him because he certainly has some talent.
Vrána is obviously going to be really big for the Capitals because this is a team that, whether he plays in the top six and somebody else trickles down, or he ends up in that bottom six and is provided for depth, this team needs depth scoring now because they've spent a lot of money on their high-end guys. So he's going to be key to this lineup, as is Madison Bowie, who may at best or at best or worst, depending on your outlook, will play in the bottom two pair or may have to move up and play in the 3-4 pairing. Mm-hmm. So those two guys are going to be really key for the success of this club this season.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we know Washington is going to make the playoffs. They just have too much talent not to. And, I mean, with Braden Holtby in net, you know, unless he had, like, a catastrophic injury, I don't think we're worried about the Caps being a bubble team. But I don't think they're going to be the high flyers they were last year, where essentially the last month of the regular season was pointless for them because they were so far ahead in the standings. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise for the Caps that they need to work these kids in, and there's going to be some bumps on the road. But it's an interesting experiment, I'll say that.
The one thing, surprisingly, we haven't touched on is the Capitals' number one prospect, and that's Ilya Samsonov. I know he's a couple years away at least, but an intriguing prospect, to say the least, between the pipes.
Definitely. You know, you're looking at a kid that was outstanding at the World Juniors for Russia. He's been very good in the KHL in his young career. And, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about in the KHL that the kids don't get a lot of time, but that tends to be with skaters. And it's kind of funny how a lot of young goaltenders do quite well in the KHL. And Samsonov is definitely in that company. And as I said before, with Braden Holtby, you know you're set in net. So for Samsonov, they can definitely slow burn his development and make sure he's ready. And this tends to happen with goalies anyways. But, you know, playing against men over there in the KHL, doing that travel schedule, which can sometimes be crazy in terms of the distance they fly, I think he's going to be nice and hardened once he gets over here. And, you know, it might be a couple more years. But, you know, if you're the Caps, hopefully you get like an Andrei Vasilevsky type of guy where he's already played against men back home and he comes in and he can contribute right away once he does come over.
Some food for thought that should get Capitals fans salivating, not that you are in any kind of goaltending trouble whatsoever with Braden Holtby between the pipes, but Samsonov's numbers from last year in 27 games played, 15-3-0 with a 2.13 goals against average and 9.36 save percentage. Those are sick numbers. He's not the only guy in Europe in the Capital system, though, who's intriguing.
Yeah, there's two more players that I would mention. Tobias Geiser, he was actually Washington's first pick in the draft this year, but he was like 120th overall because they lost picks, you know, going forward in the playoffs. I thought he should have made Switzerland's World Junior team last year. I saw him in exhibition play. I thought he looked great. Just kind of an all-around guy with size. Did make it last year. He'll definitely be there this year. So I want to see what kind of impact he can have on the international stage. The other player that I saw this summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Plymouth, Michigan, was Axel Janssen-Fialbi. And Caps fans, this is going to be a fun guy to cover. His nickname is Tarzan because he's got this great long hair. Like, it's not hockey hair, even though it's long. It's just, like, really good, like almost heavy metal hair. But I asked him about it, and he actually said he likes to put it up in a bun. So he's not, it's not that he's a metal fan. It's almost more like a samurai thing. But this kid's good because he's an energy guy, and he does have a pretty good shot. So he does have some offense to his game, but he's a bang and crasher. He's quick. He's physical. He was all over the puck in Michigan. And I think for the Caps, it's good to have a guy like that because, you know, they've been so good about finding top-end talent, particularly when they were rebuilding and getting the Ovis and the Kuznetsovs and Backstroms. But it's nice to have some different looks. And you talk about a guy who would be perfect on your third line or at worst your fourth line. Janssen-Fialbi is that guy. And, you know, he's going to spend at least a year or two more in Sweden. But keep an eye out for him for the World Juniors because I think he could be an interesting piece of Sweden's team. And again, he gives them a different look, and I think that's important.
That's your look around the world of prospects for this week. Next week on the Hockey News Prospect Podcast, we're going to be looking at the All-American Prospects game, and we'll have a very meaty team spotlight on Vegas because, boy, oh, boy, they've got a lot of prospects really early on. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks very much for listening.